Divrei Torah tonight, Halilo and Ishmas, the following individuals, Halin Fleshner, Chaya Bas Daniel, Aleh HaSholom, Jenny Yasovsky, Shana Leah Bas Meir, Aleh HaSholom, Joseph Horowitz, Yosef Zev, Ben Mitzalol, Olav HaSholom,
Mordechai
Ben Moshe Yitzchak Halevi, Olav HaSholom, Lehillah Gen HaShomer, should have a tremendous Aliyah, and Gan Eden Shomayla, Mechoy Elohoyim, Eza HaShem Yisbarach. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech haolam, shehakol niyeh b'dvaro. A famous question, Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned, a Parshas Tetzava, a well-known Bala Turim, well-known Vilna Gaon, the Sifsei Kohen, the Chedush Harim. Explanations abound, trying to offer various understandings why Moshe Rabbeinu, the protagonist of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, certainly from the point of his birth in the context of Parsha Shemos, and needs a beer why the name glaringly omitted from Parsha Tetzave. A lot of ink has been spilled. Let's just tonight start with the Chassam Sefer. It's not just the Chassam Sefer, but really the Remez appears, the Chidon, Pnei David, brings him a shame, the Megala Mukas, the Chassam Sefer cites it in the name of the Yalkut Ruveni. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, now we know the Vilna Gaon, Hagematria Malachi, that's how many Psukim, 101, and Parshas Tetzav, and that's the Gematria of the hidden letters of Moshe Rabbeinu's name, writes the Vilna Gaon. When you write out Moshe, Mem, Shin, and Hey, and you write out the internal letters, the hidden letters, that yields Gematria 101, Gematria Malachi, that's how many Psukim, and Parshas Tetzav, and the Hainu, even though Moshe's actual name is not there, but the hidden letters of Moshe Rabbeinu's name are subtly alluded to in a hidden type of fashion, and the number of Psukim in the Parsha. But we also have another fascinating remez. The Megala Mokis, the Yalkut Reveni, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Noach. He was also a Gilgal of Shais. Writes the Megala Mukas, writes the Yalkut Reveni, even though Moshe's actual name is not here, the last word of Parshas Teruma was Nechoshes. And the first word of Parshas Tetzave is Viata. What's Nechoshes? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Noach and Shais. Nechoshes, Noach, Shais, Viata. You're here to take over where Noach didn't finish the Tikkun. And Shais didn't finish the Tikkun, right? To the Yalkut Reveni. That's why the Siyum of Parshas Teruma is Nechoshes, Noach, Shais, and Achakach Ata. So writes the Chassam Sefer in his Torah's Moshe, and then Lachara, we should have called it Menashe, because we know from the Arizal, Moshe is Rosh Tevis, and Sefer Gagulim writes the Ariya Kadosh, Moshe is an acronym, Moshe Sheis Hevel, because it started with Hevel. Hevel never had a chance to bring his Neshama Lidei Tikkuna, so therefore Hevel had to reincarnate, had to be Neskagol as Sheis. Sheis didn't complete the job, so he had to come back as Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu now takes over where Noach didn't finish the job. That's why we said the word Vatanach. Vatanach HaTev Al Hare Ararat. Vatanach Aleim Aruach and Parshas Baloyscha writes the Sefer Shilav HaMesores. Vatanach HaTev, the word Vatanach appears only twice in all of Chumash. When did Noach's Teva, when did his ark, when did his figurative world come to rest? Only when his neshama was eventually Nezgalgo reincarnated as Moshe, a Moshe Sheis Hevel, but also as a tikkun for Noach, and Parshas Baloyscha Vatanach Aleim Aruach, when he allowed and he wished that his or and the special Shefa Eloki that descended from Shemayim above descended upon him, he wanted to share his wealth with the rest of the world, as opposed to Noach, who didn't go out, wasn't Mochiach the Rabbim, the Tzibur Kidaboi. Moshe was Masakeh in that, so that's when Noach's world came to rest. He says, but then if we put the Arizal together with the Megala Mukas with the Yalkut Reveni, the name should have been Menashe, Rosh Tevis, Moshe, Noach, Sheis and Hevel. Writes the Chassam Sefer, Elam Yishuam, did he make Noach for Haisa Avodah Zorah Ba'olam? And Moshe Tachlis Ohaya Lavair Avodah Zorah Lafarsim Amunas Yochid Ba'olam. Therefore his name is what? Moshe is Rosh Tevis, Moshe Sheis Hevel. Halamaisa in the time of Noach, there already was Avodah Zorah. Moshe had to erase the Avodah Zorah. So here he is erasing that Nun from his name and everything that that door of Noach represented. He's not Menashe, he is rather Moshe. We're not going to make mention of the door of Noach. That Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesalik from from the world. He remains Moshe, Gilgal of Moshe, Sheisevel. See, even though Moshe's actual name is not here, we have a remez. And what? The juxtaposition of the last word in Truma with the first word of Tetzaveh, Nechoshes, Va'ata, Nechoshes, Noach, Sheis, and then comes Va'ata. You come and take over. Sheis took over for Hevel. Then came Noach, and then came Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamela. That's the Gilgal, that's the remez. And the name Moshe. What isn't mentioned by the Megala Mukas and the Yakut Ruveni, the Chidon, the Pnei Dov, the Sam Sefer Torah Moshe, is that the Maloha Roam and other Sefer on Inyone Kabbalah mentions that Moshe was not a regular Gilgal, but he was a Nitzitz of the Neshama of Yaakov Avinu. A Nitzitz of Yaakov Avinu, writes the Maloha Roam, went into Moshe Rabbeinu. Perhaps now we can understand an interesting Nakuda. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu described himself how when he hesitated and being the shliach to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm a kvar peuch vad loshen. I'm an oros vasayim. I'm a lowish devar manaychi." And now is not the time to analyze wherein lay the nuance and the difference between oros kvar peuch vad loshen and oros vasayim and lowish devar manaychi. The common theme, the common thread woven throughout to the above is, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a speaking deficiency, some type of ailment in his speech. The Ran writes in his Drushas Aran in Drushe that the Moshe Rabbeinu had to have a speech impediment because Lu Yitzur theoretically had Moshe Rabbeinu been such a powerful demagogue delivering cogent, compelling speeches, then one could have mistakenly assumed that, you know why Klai so received the Torah? Because Moshe was a persuasive, fantastic speaker. He was a master orator, and he did what? He influenced Klai so to accept the Torah. So writes the Ran Rabbeinu Nisim, the Eivishter B'davka, gave him a speech impediment that would go ahead and highlight why did Klai so accept the Torah? Purely because of the authenticity and the veracity, Devivrei Torah, because it's Nikar, Devivrei Emes, Nikorim Heim, the Amitas Advarm of the Torah. That's what sold Klai Yisrael. It wasn't because anyone persuaded them to accept it. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment. Now, where did this come from? We know that he had a speech deficiency because of the famous Maisa, the Medrash brought by the Ramban and other Rishonim. When he was a young child, and the Chartume Paro, the necromancers, had warned Paro that maybe this adopted child is going to go ahead and come after Yamalchus. Famous test of the golden crown with the hot coal. And again, one has to understand the test. It's not for the Shear to understand the Medrash, but what child in the world wouldn't reach for the golden crown? Even the Medrash needs a beer. What type of test was this? Of course, any child in the world is going to go for the shiny gold crown before he goes for the hot burning coal. I call upon him. What happens? Moshe Rabbeinu starts reaching for the golden crown. A Malach comes along, pushes his hand, and he puts the hot coal to his lips. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment. Why? Because the hot burning coal touched his lips. Now, Devarim Gedolim Eina Bebekel. Nothing happens coincidentally. L'chaira Moshe Rabbeinu had to have a speech impediment, as the Ran Rabbeinu Nisim, one of the Gedolim Rishonim, was Masber in his drashas. We had to have someone who wasn't going to be a master orator, so that we would know, L'dorei Doris, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't persuade Kleisol to accept the Torah. It was the Torah that sold itself, Devarei Emes Nikarim Heim, and that's why we accepted the Torah. So l'chaira Hashem Yisbar could have created a deficiency in what? And his vocal cords, the origin of the power of speech. He could have given him a deficiency in the tongue. It could have been in the larynx. It could have been in the vocal cords. It could have been anywhere. Why dafka in the lips? Why was that the place that Moshe Rabbeinu received the ailment? Clearly nothing is coincidental. So earlier this year, a Hasidic Yid told me an interesting pshat. Never saw this in a sefer. He said he heard it b'shem the Satmar Rav. Said he doesn't believe it's in the Divrei Yoel. But that he heard b'shem the Satmar Rav. Frek the heilige Satmar Rav zechet tzadik v'kodesh levracha Rabbi Yoel told about. He said, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu had a lisp, had something wrong with his lips, that he put this burning coal to his lips? Clearly Hashem doesn't go ahead and do things randomly. Frek the Satmar Rav, obviously there had to be some pegam that now needed a tikkun by suffering, by yisurin b'dafkin in his lips. She says, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't nurse from any non-Jew. We know that's Pesha also the Dabra Meshchina, the famous Vilna Gaon, why you're not supposed to go ahead and have a non-Jew nurse one's child. Pastor Sha'asa the Dabur Mashchina, Zach the Grove, the Makoris of Moshe Rabbeinu. We see that he wouldn't go in and be Yonek, he wouldn't nurse from Basi Basparo, from anywhere in the Egyptian, and would Dafka be Yocheved his mother. And from that, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and all the Balei Musar tell us, you see, that every Yiddish in Neshama has the opportunity to be a pet. Sha'asa the Dabur Mashchina. Hakoponim Zach the Hele Gesat Marov. You're right, he didn't nurse. But he still put his lips to a non-Jewish woman. And since of the Satmarov, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Godol Hanavim, put his lips to the non-Jewish woman, even though he didn't actually nurse, for that his lips needed a tikkun, and that's why the lips were bedavka, the part of his body that suffered, and that it got that pagam. Interesting, that's something that was told to be in the name of the Satmarov. And that was the name of the Satmarov. He was in Yonek. What was the Hanavim? They obviously tried. They obviously tried. So the Satmarov said they tried to get him to nurse, and he wouldn't nurse. So we don't find that he didn't go anywhere near. We just find that he didn't actually nurse. So Satmarov is assuming, and that's why there needed to be a tikkun in his lips. Al Koponim, with the Satmarov, without the Satmarov, you see that what? There was no deficiency in his windpipe whatsoever. Even though the origin of speech is in the kana, in the windpipe, larynx, vocal cords, it was dafka by the most external expression of the Koach HaDibur, but it didn't affect the windpipe at all. Perhaps understanding the Malo HaRoim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gilgal of Yaakov, we understand why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have any pagam in his kone. If he was here to take over after Yaakov Avinu, we mentioned in the past the Chidah, and in Sefer Midbar Kedemos, B'Shem the Ponim Irus, who cites the Vart B'Shem the Bali Mekubalim. The Ponim Irus writes in the name of Mekubalim, that every single Jew that ever lived had a Shorish Neshama and the original initial gargantuan Neshama of Adam Rishon. Arvei Nachal and Rish Aleph and Parshas Bereishis is Maruch in the Sinyan, that the first Neshama of Adam Rishon was Kolo Besocha, encompassed therein every future Neshama that would be possessed by every single Yid. Every one of the 600,000 Shorishi Neshamas of Klai Yisrael had a Shorish in that Neshama of Adam Rishon. And everyone was attached to a different part of Adam Rishon's body. Writes the Ponim Iris in the name of the Kabbalah, where was the Shorish Neshama of Yaakov Avinu? By the Kona, by the windpipe. Zot the Ponim Iris. You know why Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, the only individual that we find, Tainus Tafei and Abeis, Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, Yaakov Avinu never died. We find it, Dafka by Yaakov, why did he never die? Because Misa came into the world because Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tavara. Whether it was a Taina, a Gefen, a Chita, or an Asruk, the Shitas and Brochas, Memam and Aleph, and the Menush and Bracis Rabbo, whatever it was, but it only touched the Veshet, the esophagus. It never touched the windpipe. And since the Neshama of Yaakov had its Shoresh, Dafka by the windpipe of Adam Rishon, that was the only part of the body that never came into contact with the food of the Achilas Eitz Hadas Tovaro, which brought Misa into the world, the Mela, Yaakovinu Shorish Neshama, which was intertwined with the Kana, the windpipe of Adam Rishon, the food of the Eitz Hadas never came into contact with the windpipe. Mesa, death came into the world, Ayadei that Achila, but death had no shaykhis to the Kana, the windpipe of Adam Rishon. That is the source of the power of Yaakov Avinu. That's why Yaakov Avinu lo meis. And that's why, how does Yitzchak describe the Maila, the Nekuda Miyachedis of Yaakov Avinu in the pages of Parshas Toldos? HaKol Kol Yaakov. Why is it Davka Kol Kol Yaakov? Because the Kol comes out of where? Comes out of the Kone. The Kol, the sound, the voice comes out of where? Comes out of the windpipe. That's the Shorish of voice, of sound. Yaakov has the Koach of the Kol. Because Yaakov Shorish Neshoma is in the Kone, is in the windpipe. That's why a Kol Kol Yaakov. That's why Yaakov Avinu lo meis, because Misa had no Shaychus to the Kone, and that was the Mokum of the Shorish Neshama of Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu now is here to take over according to the Lower Roet. He is also a Nitzitz of Yaakov Avinu. Semamela Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Yaakov already perfected the Bechinas HaKone. Yaakov had a Shaychus to the Kone, to the Koko Yaakov. If I'm going to give a Pagam to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's here to take over from Yaakov Avinu. I can't give him a pagam in the bechina of the kol. Dahinu, the etzem kol can't be nifka. He's here to be mamshich light to Yaakov Avinu. So the pagam is not going to manifest itself in the windpipe or in the bechina sakol. It's only once by the outer manifestation of the lips, which are not at all connected. The lips, oh, that certainly came in contact with the food of the Eitz Hadas Tovaro. The lips, that avada did come into contact. That's the first point of contact. The koneh, the windpipe. It's it's not the kol be'etzem that the Moshe Rabbeinu had a deficiency and his kol was fine. It was only because of the list of the what? The oros fasayim. That was the pagam. I'm sure that just compounds the idea of the satmara of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was only some pagam that manifested itself davka in the sfasayim, but not at all in the kon, in the shorish of the bechinas hakol, taking over from Yaakov Avinu. There's no pagam whatsoever in the bechina of the kol. And as Dr. Kolko Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu can only have a speech impediment that is rooted in this fasayim, the outer expression of the Bechinas HaKol, but not in the Yetzim Kol itself. And just to conclude, it's just very intriguing. We have the Gemara Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, Tainus Daf Hei Amud Beis. Interessant. Just a horror that came to me recently, and perhaps in 1 minute I could share it with you. The Gemara says as follows. We have a Gemara that Amr Rabbi Yochanan Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, I freak the Gemara of Achibachdi, Safdir, Safdiruni, Achata, Achati, Avekaba, Kabriya, Elamikra, and Idoresh, and we have Yisroel, by Yisroel, Machayim, Afubachayim. What is the Gemara right before Yaakov Avinu Lomeis? The Memra right before Yaakov Avinu Lomeis is Amalei Rav Nechman, the Rav Yitzchak. They were in the middle, they were Yasvi Besudasa. Leima Mar Milsa, tell me something in the middle of the Suda. Amalei Hachi Am Rav Yochanan, Ein Mesichin Besuda. What's the one thing he tells him in the middle of the scene? He says, I'm telling you, when you're in the middle of eating, you don't talk. Why? Shema yaktim kana leveshet v'yav l'deisa kana. Because maybe you'll be maktim kana leveshet. Right in the heels of that memra comes Amram Yoichan on Yaakov Avinu Lomeis. What shaykhis? Man yitzvita yitzal sina. Eim asichim asuda. Shema yaktim kana leveshet. All of a sudden, Yaakov Avinu Lomeis. The fee, ani is daiti, perhaps based on the chidon midbar kedemus, based on the panamiris Hashem in the kabbalim, the shurish nesham of Yaakov was by the kone, and the kone has no shaykhis to the veshet. Mela, the only reason why Yaakov Avinu Lomeis is because his shurish nesham was by the kone, not by the veshet. But if you talk in the middle of the suda, what are you doing? Hey, mesicha mesuda shem yaktim kone leveshet. Maybe you're going to mix them up, and the food's going to come into contact with the kone. Mela, you can't talk in the middle of suda. The only reason why Yaakov Avinu Lomeis was because they didn't talk when they ate. And since they didn't talk when they ate, that's why the food of the Yitzhadas only came into contact with the Veshin and didn't come into contact with the Koneh. But had other men Chava been eating and talking to each other while they were eating Shema Yaakov Koneh Leveshin, we would never have Yaakov Avinu's Koko Yaakov. We would never have Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, because then the food would have taken come into contact with the Koneh. The Fianias Daiti, that's the Smichos. Hey, me see Chemasuda Shema Yaakov Koneh Leveshin. Hamela, since they didn't talk, only because of that do I know that the food taka did not come into contact with the kana. Hamela, Rabbi Yochanan Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, because his shorish neshama was by the kana. Perhaps Efshar Yeshakayach. We'll see you tonight. Alei Shor back here in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Neubauer Mitzvah, 8:15 to 9:00 in Yonah by Maseches Megillah, followed by Alei Shor Ravoba, Alei Shor Chelik Sheni.